Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great morning. It's the start of Memorial Day weekend. Everybody gets excited about that as we celebrate and as we remember those who gave their lives for our country, defending our freedoms to give us the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to offer that to us. And so, you know, Memorial Day is Monday, the 26th, but we have this weekend. And Memorial Day began, as some of you may know, as Decoration Day. It began after the Civil War. And it was to decorate the graves and remember the fallen in the Civil War, both Confederate and Union soldiers. And then it became, after World War I, it expanded to all those who died in combat and died defending our country, a federal holiday marked by parade ceremonies and grave decorations to remember those who gave their all for America. And it is a special, special time. And we always, you know, what's the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day? Well, obviously, the Memorial Day is for people who died, and they're not going to be in the service, but their families are. And so we recognize them. Veterans Day, we recognize those who have served. And those are important days, and it's important to recognize those people and recognize those families. And then it makes us think about the world's greatest soldier. There was a book written some years ago entitled, it was a short little book, but it was powerful. It was entitled The World's Greatest Soldier. And obviously the world's greatest soldier is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. He left his home in heaven, where he is continually worshiped day and night. They do not cease to say in heaven, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." The whole earth is full of his glory. And Jesus left all of that. He laid aside his royal robe. He took off his crown, and he became a man. He was born of a virgin, born of two people of very low income. He was born in a barn, laid in a feeding trough. The Bible says, "For you know the grace," 2 Corinthians 8:9, "for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He gave his life willingly." You remember Jesus said, "No man takes my life, but I lay it down freely. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up again." Nobody could kill Jesus. Jesus had to lay his life down, and he did that when he died upon the cross. And before he died, he said, "It is finished." That was the second to the last thing that he said. And the last thing he said was, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full." And he paid for your sin, my sin, our sin, and he provided the way for us to be made right with God. You know, when we have the Lord's Supper, now some churches have the Lord's Supper, they call it communion, and they have it every week. The people that say, "Well, this bread and juice becomes the body and blood of Jesus," there's a big theological term for that. Transubstantiation. And I grew up in the Catholic Church, and that's the whole point of it. It's the Mass. It's the, you're going to eat the body and blood of Jesus, and that little wafer and that wine is going to become the body and blood of Jesus. I don't believe that for a second. Martin Luther called it consubstantiation. He said, "Well, it doesn't become the body and blood of Jesus, but it's the Lord is present. He's with the elements there." Well, in Reformed churches, in Southern Baptist churches, in churches that are not Catholic or Anglican or Episcopal or anything like that, we believe that it's the Lord's Supper, and it's a commemoration of what the Lord did. And this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord, the Apostle Paul telling the Corinthians, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Obviously, they would know that this is not his body. It represents his body because he's right in front of them. That's his body. So if I hold up a pen and hand it to you and say, this is my body, well, you would understand that I'm saying this is going to represent my body because it's not my body. But he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then it says this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We are to have the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. The Bible doesn't tell us, it doesn't say you have to do this every time you meet. It doesn't say you have to do it every Sunday, but you have to do it on a regular basis, whether that's every month, whether that's once every 2 months, once a quarter, whatever it might be. But you do that and you gather together and do that to remember him and to proclaim his death until he comes. So he is coming again. I'm preaching on that this Sunday, the power and glory of his return. The greatest day in the history of the world is yet to be, and it is not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's not that weekend. It's the day that the Lord returns in power and great glory. So when we proclaim his death until he comes, that has built within it the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Because if he just died and didn't rise, well, how's he gonna return? He's dead. Nobody returns once they die. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He did die. He was buried. That is the gospel and the key component. On the third day, he rose again in a glorified state, never to die again. And he's going to come back in power and great glory. So as we think about Memorial Day, and it's important to remember those who have given their all for us and given us the freedoms that we enjoy so that we can have the parades and we can have the barbecues so that we can be with our families so that we can have a fun weekend. It's because of what those people did for us and how they gave their all. But the world's greatest soldier is the Lord Jesus. He didn't die for our freedom as Americans. He died for our souls. He died so that we could go to heaven. He died so that we could be truly set free and experience not only eternal life, but abundant life. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. On Easter several years ago, I preached about John 10, 10. And I said, Jesus wants you to have two kinds of life. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to have abundant life. He wants you to live forever in heaven with him and experience the glories of heaven. And he wants you to have a little slice of heaven right now here on earth, not externally, because life can be so hard, but internally, where there's the fruit of the Spirit, where there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, there's kindness, there's goodness, there's gentleness, there's faithfulness, there's self-control, because the Holy Spirit lives inside. You know, people, I've been doing a lot of interviews in the last 2 weeks because the new book came out, The Devil's Newsroom, that I wrote, and we've been on a lot of these talk radio programs and talking about different things. And one of the questions, Tim Wildman asked me this when I was on his program, on American Family Radio. He was saying, well, what about the person that, you know, has lost a child? And what do you say to them? And they were wondering, how can God be good? If God were really good, my child wouldn't have died of leukemia or been in that car accident or whatever it might be. And, you know, in those situations, you have a choice. It's what Job had. You have a choice. You know, his wife, interesting. The devil took everything from him except he left his wife because he knew that maybe I can use her to discourage him. And when everything fell apart and they lost all their children and they lost all their wealth and Job is covered in boils from head to toe and scraping himself with a broken piece of pottery, and he was disfigured, and it's horrific beyond anything we can imagine. She said to him, "Curse God and die." And he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks." I mean, we can't curse. That's not an option, to curse God and die. I mean, you can do that, but where does that get you? He said, "Shall we indeed accept goodness from God and not accept adversity from God? The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And so we have to just say, "God, I don't like this. God, I don't want this, but God, I trust you because I know," and this is so critical, "I know that you're good and I know that you love me, and the cross of Jesus Christ proves that you're good and that you love me, because as Paul said, who loved me and delivered himself up for me," concerning Jesus, "I have been crucified with Christ, and is no longer Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me." Not just who loved humanity, but he loved me individually. He loved me and gave himself up for me. I remember I had a secretary when I worked at Champion Forest Baptist Church. She was the secretary for the pastor, Damon Shook, and I was in his office suite. And so we talked a lot, Donna Kennedy and I, and she said to me one time, she said, "Jeff," she said, "I hear preachers say a lot that if you had been the only person on the earth, Jesus would have died for you." She said, "That sounds good, but is that just preacher talk, or is that really true?" And I pointed her to Galatians 2:20, and I said, "It's really true. Who loved me and delivered himself up for me." And so God is good. God loves me. And we know this. God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hey, we may never understand this side of heaven why things happen the way they do, but we know that we can trust God because he's good and because he loves us and because he's perfect. He doesn't do things pretty well. He does all things perfectly well. He's the perfect God. He never makes a mistake. He's all wise, all knowing. God, you know, one thing you never hear in heaven is the word, "Oops. Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen." You know, we had this false teaching going around for a while. I don't hear about it anymore. But it's called open theism, that God doesn't know everything, that God is learning as he goes. Well, that's baloney. God knows the end from the beginning, the Bible tells us. Yeah, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah. He knows the end from the beginning. God sees it all. God can tell you, that's why in the book of the Revelation, he can map out everything that's going to happen, because he sees it all. He is the infinite God from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. And one of the greatest verses in the book of Job is Job 15, verse 13. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me," actually Job 13 verse 15, I always get those confused. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." That's really critical, to have that kind of attitude. Hey, Lord, I don't understand. What's happening to me is definitely not good, but that doesn't mean you're not good, because you are good. Well, Monday is Memorial Day, and as we remember, as we give thanks to those who have given their lives for our freedoms, we remember the ultimate soldier, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you and me so that we could have a personal relationship with the God of the universe, so that we could know him, not know about him, but really know him in our hearts. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things in the news, and we're going to open the phone lines early to take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call, and let's talk.
Have you wanted to take your family to Kentucky to visit the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, but just never took the time? Don't put it off any longer. Let 2025 be the year you check that off the list. In fact, you can make it an even more memorable trip when you join AFA at the Ark October 30th and 31st. On Thursday, you'll get transportation for a tour of the Creation Museum, and Friday will take you for a tour of the Ark Encounter. But that's just the beginning. Expand your knowledge of creation with a special dinner presentation on Thursday by Answers in Genesis astronomer Dr. Danny Faulkner. Friday, Dr. Georgia Purdom, Answers in Genesis Vice President of Educational Content, will help you dig deeper into the Bible. And Friday evening, enjoy dinner and a panel discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Wesley Wildman, Vice Presidents of American Family Association. Visit afa.net/events today and click on AFA at the Ark. afa.net/events and click on AFA at the Ark.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at afr.net.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is. For example, it's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And so, as we said, we are celebrating Memorial Day on Monday, and it's a long weekend for most Americans. And it's a time for Christians to not only honor those who have fallen for our freedoms here in America, but to remember the Lord, the world's greatest soldier who gave his life for us so that we could have eternal life in heaven with him and abundant life here on the earth. Well, I want to change gears a little bit and talk about the rise of anti-Semitism. You know, that has been on the rise and in the news quite a bit with what's going on college campuses. You know, October 7th is a day that will live in infamy in Israel as the Hamas terrorists attacked innocent civilians and killed and butchered and just did atrocious things, unbelievable evil, unspeakable evil that they perpetrated on Israel, killing babies and beheading babies and just so satanic, so demonic. If you want to know what Islam is all about, just look at what happened on October 7th and just say, you know, everyone has to say that that is evil with a capital E-V-I-L. And yet you have people in America, especially on college campuses, liberals, free, free Palestine, from the river to the sea. They want to exterminate the Jews, and what the Jews are doing is just terrible. Israel has the the right to defend itself. Israel, Hamas declared war on them. Israel didn't start the war. And so Israel has a right to defend itself. Okay, you're going to come at us. You're going to kill our citizens. We're not just going to stand there and watch you do that. We're going to bring the fight to you. And they're doing that now. And with Hamas, the Hebrew word means violent. And what they're doing, and wicked, what they're doing is so wicked. And they put their military operations in hospitals and schools. So if you go after them, well, you're going to attack a hospital, attack a school. And, you know, the liberals in America, they just fall in line. Oh, Israel's terrible. I mean, look what they're doing. And they're attacking schools and attacking hospitals. It's like, yeah, because that's what they're doing with it. That's what Hamas is doing. Hamas is the cause of all of this, and it's not Israel. But how does all this animosity toward Israel and toward the Jews, how does that affect things? What does it ultimately lead to? Well, it ultimately leads to people who are unhinged murdering innocent Israelis. And that happened on Wednesday, May 21st, where Yaron Lyshinsky, 30-year-old man, and Sarah Milgram were killed. She's 26. And they were murdered, gunned down outside of the Capitol Jewish Museum. And the murderer, you know, the people call him, well, he's a suspect. No, he's a murderer. He's not a convicted murderer yet, but he will be. People saw him do it. He admitted that he did it. He shouted "Free Palestine." He said he did it for Gaza. He brought the police to his where the gun was that he used. I agree with my friend Gary Frazier, who posted today on Facebook. Why do we have to wait so long to have a trial for this guy? Seems like we could do this in a couple of days. I mean, there are witnesses. He admitted he did it. He said why he did it. It's a slam dunk. There's no defense. And what he did was a capital crime, a crime of terrorism. He should be executed for what he did. And, you know, this idea that we're going to wait and wait and wait, and he's going to sit on, you know, in the jail cell for a long time before he ever goes to court. And when he goes to court and if they give him the death penalty, then it's years before that gets carried out. You know what the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 8:11? It's a really good verse. It says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. If we started with swift justice, that gets people's attention. That gets people to say, hey, you don't want to break these laws, because if you break these laws, you'll be dead inside of 2 weeks. When the Lord comes back and he sets up his millennial kingdom, the Bible says he rules with a rod of iron, which means that he doesn't let things foment and bubble up. He's going to squelch and squash any kind of rebellion. You don't rebel in the millennial kingdom. That comes at the end of the millennial kingdom, when the Lord releases Satan from his prison, and then he comes out and draws to himself rebels like the sand of the seashore, because those in the millennial kingdom who are born, as we talked to Dr. Paige Patterson yesterday, they're born, they have to trust Christ just like you and I trust Christ. The only difference is now they can see Jesus. And it's pretty amazing to think that there will be people in the millennial kingdom who can see that Jesus is Lord. They see the glorified Christ, and they will still not bow the knee to him. They will reject him. They will join Satan's forces to try and overthrow him. They live in a perfect place. I mean, the curse has been removed during the millennial kingdom. The desert blooms like a rose. A lion the lion lays down with the lamb. A little child plays at the cobra's den. And the Lord says, they will not hurt in all my holy mountain. There's no pain in childbirth. Everything is perfect like it was pre-fall days. Genesis chapter 2. And yet they still rebel against the Lord to show what is the heart of sin. We do not want this man to rule over us. Luke chapter 19. That's at the heart of sin. I want to be my own God. It's the rebellion of Satan just replayed in hearts. And so that I will be like the Most High. That is what is taking place in the hearts of people. And they will rebel against the Lord. And Revelation chapter 20, fire comes down from heaven and consumes them all. And then that is the end. Well, here was a comment made by an Israeli student at UCLA. His name is Eli Shivas, I think is how you say his name. I wrote it down. Let's see. Eli Shivas talking about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism has risen 344% in America in the last 5 years.
The harsh reality is that I'm not surprised, right? We've known this for a long time, that people who shout Free Palestine, what they want to see is the complete eradication of the State of Israel, the genocide of Jews around the world, and frankly, the destruction of Western civilization, right? I mean, anti-Semitism has been on the rise in this country by 900% in the last 10 years. And most of that hatred, it's not coming from the far right. It's actually coming from the far left. Which is crazy. You know, politicians like AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, promoting Islamic jihadist ideals. It's shocking. And as citizens, as Americans, as patriots, we have to take action and vote them out.
All right. That was from a Jewish student and an actor. He's often interviewed. His name is Eli Shivas. And man, over the last 10 years, he said, anti-Semitic crimes have increased 900%. I asked AI, and AI said it was 344% over the last 5 years. Well, it's up, and the devil hates Israel, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Where you see the world going, that doesn't mean every single person, but the world system, and the devil works through this anti-God system. Anti-Christ system, and the devil hates the Jews, wants to exterminate the Jews. God has made promises to the Jews. He's made promises to Israel. And if the devil can get those promises to fall flat, then he can make God out to be a liar, a promise breaker. You know, if God makes a promise and it doesn't come true, then, well, Lord, you didn't tell the truth. You said you were going to do X and you didn't do X. So, you know, the Bible says, Hebrews 6, it's impossible for God to lie. And when God makes a promise, he's going to make good on that promise. And God is the God who is able to do all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God who is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God who always keeps his word. Elohim is a plural noun. It's not gods like we have a multiplicity of gods. It's one God in three persons. And the Elohim, that word, as you break it down, means a covenant-keeping God, a God who keeps his promises, who always keeps his word. Well, speaking of keeping one's word, in the news, obviously, we've been talking this week about Joe Biden and his mental state and Jake Tapper's book that came out. I wouldn't encourage anybody to buy it because that would just enrich Jake Tapper, who was part of the problem. He was part of the cover-up. But it's interesting how two of the biggest, most blatant liars who would have known about Joe Biden's, maybe you had Jill in there too, Jill Biden, she obviously knew, and his family. So, but outside of the family, two of the biggest, most blatant liars, in my opinion, Kamala Harris and Karine Jean-Pierre, because they have promoted Joe Biden, saying how sharp he is and how he, you know, he hadn't lost a step and all these things. Well, this is what Alex Marlowe has to say about Kamala Harris. And interestingly, she has not been heard in public in the last several days.
Where is she? She's gone. She's disappeared. She's not popping up anywhere. She's not answering any questions. Her best argument that she isn't part of the cover-up is she tends to come off as more demented than Joe Biden. That's all she's got with all her cackling and stuff like that. Of course she was part of the cover-up. She said in the VP debate against Mike Pence that Joe Biden puts everything out there regarding his health. Well, we learned that Joe Biden hid his sleep apnea for 15 years. He had it since 2008. And no one knew until we saw the gas mask marks on his face in 2023. So why would they hide such little stuff like that? Probably because they're hiding big stuff. She was completely content to go along with it, thinking that putting her one heartbeat away from the presidency was the best move for her job.
Now, granted, she had a difficult position and Karine Jean-Pierre had a difficult position. But yeah, you ask yourself this question. I mean, can you stand up before the American people and lie through your teeth repeatedly, time and time and time again, just to further your own career, just to be a company man, so to speak, to take one for the team, so to speak? Will you trash your credibility to do something like that? I mean, I'm of the opinion that once you trash your credibility, once you've proven to me that you don't have any qualms about lying through your teeth, I'm never going to believe you about anything, nor should I think anyone should believe you. Hey, what does a liar need to do to rebuild credibility? You got to come clean. You got to say, I lied about this. This is why I lied about it. It was wrong. Please forgive me. And please give me another chance. And listen, trust is lost by the buckets full, but it's only gained a drop at a time. And these people have bankrupted the trust bank, the credibility bank. And what do we do with people like that? Well, unless they come clean, and until they come clean, we would never believe another word they say. We shouldn't. We would be foolish to do that. Hey, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so here's a montage of Karine Jean-Pierre, the press secretary for the president, for President Joe Biden in the last administration. This is her repeatedly saying, Joe is sharp as a tack.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind.
The book is suggesting the president tells aides he's tired.
But that's in the excerpt, right?
Yeah, and that's why there have been so few public events before 10 a.m.
I mean, that's a ridiculous assumption to make.
President Biden is the oldest president in U.S. history. Why does White House staff treat him like a baby?
No one treats the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, like a baby.
So there's this book that says...
That's ridiculous.
When staff
That's a ridiculous
walk back,
claim. I would put the President's stamina, President's wisdom, ability to get this done on behalf of the American people against anyone.
How is President Biden ever going to convince the three-quarters of voters who are worried about his physical and mental health that he is okay, even though in Las Vegas he told a story about recently talking to a French president who died in 1996.
I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole with
what?
You, sir. Comments were made in that report about that, about obviously about his memory that we don't believe lives in reality. I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith. And some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right-wing critics of the president have a credibility problem.
I think there is so much misinformation, disinformation, as we've been talking about. You talked about the video of the president wandering. And it's not true, right? The president wasn't wandering. And so we believe we have to call that out. We've been calling it cheap fakes. That is something that came from directly from the media outlets.
Is anyone in
They weren't cheap fakes. They were true. They were real. And she was covering up for him. And you say, well, what is she supposed to say? Well, I think that you have to stand up and be counted, and you can't violate your conscience, and you can't repeat lies. Listen, you're never more like the devil than when you lie, because he's a liar and the father of lies. That's the whole point of my book, The Devil's Newsroom. It's about confronting the devil's lies with the truth of God's Word. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be hearing from you, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Claire from Trinity Debt Management. I'm a counselor, and the reason that I love working for Trinity is because I get to help folks with one of the hardest problems a family can face, and that's financial difficulties. In this day and age, everything is going up. You have higher utilities, higher grocery bills, higher fuel, and those credit card interest rates have gone up as well. We can help you with that. We can help you get lower interest rates, lower monthly payments. In just a few minutes, we put together a plan that gets you out of debt and keeps you out of debt. I love my job. It's a great program and a very smart way to find debt relief.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Claire, a Trinity counselor. Call me and become debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Do you believe in the absolute inerrancy of God's holy word? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to radically change lives and empower us to live like Christ? At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement of people across our nation and across the world who hold fast to the authority of the Bible and the hope of holiness. We are working today to equip tomorrow's pastors and Christian leaders through biblical and theological education in practical ministry that's accredited, affordable, online, and highly personal. Our programs include undergraduate, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kinds of pastors we need leading our churches in the future, we invite you to learn more about partnering with us through giving. Learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary by visiting us at wbs.edu today.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are opening the phone lines at 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you want to just brag on the Lord and express your gratitude for the world's greatest soldier as we get ready to enter into Memorial Day weekend, I think that would be great. You know, you got to keep it concise, but it is awesome to share what great things the Lord has done for us and to just give thanks for the cross and the empty tomb. So I'd love to hear from you, 888-589-8840. And we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Brother Man, Pastor. Yesterday, day before yesterday, you had another pastor on there. You was interviewing him about the Book of Revelation.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, David Jeremiah. He says, I don't know if you're aware of that. There's a teaching he's teaching out of the Book of Revelation. He's trying to let people know about the Book mm-hmm. of Revelation and asking people to buy the book. So I don't know if he was aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's got a brand new book out on the Second Coming. David's done a lot of he's done a lot of teaching and a lot of writing on Revelation. Solid stuff.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were aware of that or not, so I might tell you that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I have some of his books on the Second Coming. And so, yeah, it was Dr. Paige Patterson who was my guest yesterday. And so Paige has been in, he's been a seminary president in Christian education for a long time. David Jeremiah has been a pastor for a long time. But both very, very sharp, wise, learned men. And I would encourage people to listen to David Jeremiah. He's great and he's spot on.
Right. So all thank right. you.
Thank you, Frank.
Jesus loves you. I know you know that. I tell people anyway.
Yes. Amen. It's good to be reminded. Well, I appreciate it. Well, we have our old friend Lee from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
Hey.
I've been trying to get through to you for about 3 weeks, and I got
really?
A question I want to, this has just gnawed at me. I guess I've let it gnaw at me too much.
Okay.
But my question is, when Pope Francis died, I heard Franklin Graham, Robert Jeffries, talk about what a good man that this man was, and it's just like you said, I heard a listener, John MacArthur, yesterday give a wonderful expose about lying, and he says people, anybody that will tell you something contrary to the Bible, especially about Jesus, that he was he is not the only way to heaven. And even when Billy Graham, I'm 74 years old, when Billy Graham was preaching and Pope John Paul II died, Billy Graham said that Pope John Paul was the greatest religious leader of the last 100 years. Mm. Now, I'm asking myself, why did we ever have a Protestant Reformation? If these guys are correct, and you know yourself, Pope Francis said that even an atheist could go to heaven if he lived a good moral life. Mm-hmm. These guys are liars or blinded.
And yeah,
I would say nothing about the man before I would get up there and lie like that. I mean, they're sending why would a Catholic change over to a Protestant view, if you think you're all right in what this guy said? He said Jesus was not the only way to heaven. All religions led people to heaven. Why would they make a statement like that?
Yeah, good question. I don't understand that either, Lee. You know, I can understand guys wanting to be kind and gracious when a leader dies, but you can't paint the guy like he was the Apostle Paul if he wasn't, and you can't paint him as this guy that we should follow when he's espousing false doctrine. So, yeah, I do think that they can, some of those very, very public people like Franklin Graham, obviously Franklin is a solid believer, he understands the gospel, he stands up for the truth. I don't know why he did that. If they get going on, we want to say, praise the guy for some things, and then maybe goes too far. I don't know. I would have tremendous difficulty doing that. Say we're sad about his situation, and pray for his family. I was going to say his family. We might have brothers and sisters, but. Yeah, you bring up a great point. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that one for you. I think you got to be careful. I just think with people that you disagree with on major things, we can disagree on minor things and things that are not consequential to the gospel. But if we disagree on the gospel and spine issues, not rib issues, but spine issues, We have to make sure that we make that clear, so we don't give the opinion that we are endorsing someone's theology when their theology is out the window. You know, when Joseph Smith died, had I been alive then, somebody said, "What do you think about Joseph Smith dying?" It would be like, well, you know, Joseph Smith was made in the image of God, but his theology was terrible, and he led many people astray. But we're not trying to, you know, disparage the guy and his family in the midst of his death. But you still have to speak the truth. So our job to speak the truth in love. So I think you bring up a great point, Lee, and we need to be careful with what we say and with who we promote and how we say things about people. You know, I said this week about Joe Biden, you know, I can hate his policies. I can hate his stance on abortion and other things, but that doesn't mean I hate him. We can hate the theology of false teachers, but it doesn't mean we hate them. We would love to see all those people come out of the ether, so to speak, have their eyes open to truth and respond to the truth. And as I shared on one program this week, I said, you know, no doubt the early church, people in the early church were probably praying that God would take this Saul of Tarsus, who is breathing out threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, take him out of the way. Just Lord, judge him, kill him. He is wreaking so much havoc in the church. So there were no doubt some people praying like that. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. We can just kind of surmise that. And then the Lord's answer was, no, I'm not gonna kill him. I'm gonna save him, and I'm gonna use him in great ways, and he's going to be the poster child, my trophy of grace. So, and the Apostle Paul's testimony was, if God can save me, he can save anybody, because I'm the chief of sinners. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I found mercy, I found grace in the Lord. So we would want that for anybody in government, for anybody in leadership in a church that is not preaching the gospel, that they would find truth and salvation in Jesus. But I appreciate you, my friend.
I agree with you 100% there, Pastor Jeff. And I'm like you about Joe Biden. And but I don't want to see him go to hell. I often think, what a great testimony he would have if he would get on TV and say, listen, you know, I have misled you people. I've misled myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you was raised Catholic, mm-hmm. and you can see this. But, you know, when I listen to somebody of the stature of these other guys, I'm just wondering, you know, how many people was thinking about coming out. If this guy says it's okay, then I'm okay. And words have consequences.
Yeah, they do, and we need to be careful about that. I was talking to Sean McDowell this week, and we were talking about who, you know, different people that get platformed on radio programs and in books. You know, he's the general editor of this new apologetics book, and I said, do you ever get nervous about some of the people you're putting in there? What if they go off the rails? And he said, well, that's always a danger, but, you know, you just have to cross that bridge if and when you come to it. And so, you know, we don't want to see, obviously don't want to see anybody go off the rails. Dr. Stephen Lawson, when it was revealed he was having this 5-year affair with this girl. Robert Morris from Gateway Church in Dallas, and when it was revealed what he did 40-something years ago, continued sexual abuse of a child. She was 12, and he did this until she was 16. I mean, that's a criminal act. What Stephen Lawson did was a sin against God, a terrible sin against God, having an adulterous affair with a girl in her 20s when he's in his late 60s, early 70s. And that is a horrible thing, but you don't go to prison for that. What Robert Morris did was a crime. And to think that you can just, well, okay, we just ask God to forgive us. And God does forgive for sin, terrible sin, horrible sin. But there are consequences for things. And when we commit crimes, the consequence is, you know, you're gonna be arrested for that. You're going to be in prison for that. And he needs to to have those consequences, as horrible and as awful as they are. Well, thank you, Lee. I appreciate that. You know, I was thinking, I heard a little clip from Sebastian Gorka. Sebastian Gorka, media host, commentator, and deputy assistant to President Trump. Smart, smart guy. He was talking about something he uncovered with the open border situation that Biden and Kamala Harris had, and they did that on purpose. Nobody can be that terrible of a leader. I mean, Joe Biden was being told what to do, and he did that on purpose to open the borders and flood the country with illegal aliens. Well, this is what Sebastian Gorka said. When you do the research, this is what you find.
More Americans were killed in 1 year, thanks to Biden and Harris and the cartels who facilitated them, than in 75 years of armed conflict, from Korea to Vietnam to Panama to Grenada, Gulf One, Gulf Two, Afghanistan. In all of those conflicts combined, 103,000 Americans were killed. I went to Biden's CDC website and I looked for the data on deaths by fentanyl and illicit drug use smuggled across the border. It was hard to find. You got to dig deep at the Biden CDC website, but I found it. In the second year of Biden and Harris's open border policies, 110,000 Americans were murdered by illicit drugs smuggled into this country, and in many cases prepared with precursors from China. We are at war with the cartels, and that's why President Trump, Stephen Miller, Governor Noem, Tom Homan are doing what they do, because we will not permit this to continue.
That was shocking information. I think Sebastian is a sharp, sharp guy. I like the fact that he's no nonsense. He stands up to these liberal news anchors when he goes on shows and you know, stands his ground. He doesn't just let them badger him. One of the things that Marco Rubio does such a good job with that also is he stands up and says, no, well, here's the real story. Because they always come at things at such a negative way. And even I get frustrated with AI, because AI seems to come at things from a negative way. I ask Grok a lot of the times. I said, I feel like I'm talking to Rachel Maddow. And Grok will laugh. No, you're talking to Grok. I'm just trying to give you a full picture. I said, well, I ask you for the positives of Donald Trump's tariffs, and you give me the weaknesses and what the other side says about them. Well, just trying to give you a full picture. And so, you know, that kind of stuff is something that we deal with. And the left seems to always come at things from a negative way. I don't know what they are expecting. You compare the United States of America to this utopian society that does not exist and say, well, we fall short. Yeah, everybody falls short. You don't like America. Where do you want to go? Follow Rosie O'Donnell and go to Ireland. Well, Ireland has their problems. You know, as Charlie Kirk said, as he talked to a student who said that he hates America, and he said, do you have plans to leave America? He said, no. And he said, listen, that shows you how great America is. Even those who hate it don't want to leave here. And he said, that shows you the greatness of America. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. And I just want to encourage you, as you remember and reflect on this Memorial Day weekend, and as you do thank a soldier and thank their families for those who have lost loved ones serving in this country, remember the world's greatest soldier. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we ought to get down on our knees and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for rising from the dead for me to purchase my salvation. And Lord, here's my life. I offer it as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I want my life to glorify you this day. Hey, you only have today to live, so live it to the glory of God. I'll be with you again on Monday. No, on Tuesday. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.